speaking to you from Sunday morning. It is my mind and my body feels like it's pretty early in the morning, but the clock is telling me that it's an hour later. Today is daylight savings, and I think I'm thinking about springing forward because today is daylight savings. Also, what that might mean for projects and making, and you know, just generally the anxiety that I'm feeling as it starts to look like maybe this COVID quarantine period could come to an end. And that has me feeling a whole bunch of emotions. And so I thought I would talk about that a bit today. So before I begin, welcome everyone. Thank you so much for joining me. My name is Holly. I am almost at a year anniversary of this podcast, which is kind of crazy. And also, a good reminder that there's been a lot of time happening, even as I've been staying still. This has just been a really big year of growth for me and my family. And some of those are, you know, having to do with what we've all experienced this year. And then others are of the aspects of this year has been more about, you know, the unique experiences of at one point living with and loving somebody who struggles with addiction. And through it all, I've been knitting. And so I wanted to thank you. It's kind of weird that it's been a year, but this community here really means a lot to me and it's really helped me to share. So thank you. And then of course, I'll just remind you that I'm only speaking from my own personal experience of strength and hope as I kind of do a journey of recovery this year. Like I said, for me, that recovery work involves a 12-step program, and my 12-step program is Al-Anon. But I, of course, am so excited and welcome you if you have a different experience or if you're just interested in thinking about the intersection between knitting and sewing and any kind of crafty making. And then the deeper work of healing from any kind of trauma, including addiction. So as a reminder, please just take what you like and leave the rest. I'm not speaking from any kind of official point of view, and I'm trying really hard just to share my own story. And my story this week is that, I had a tough week. I had been feeling so strong and healthy and happy. And I feel like I was, you know, as I said, making a lot of insights in my recovery work. I was making a lot of insights about my knitting. I was so proud about my sweater. I was so proud about my socks. Both of those have become really wearable items. I mean, I haven't been wearing a Christmas sweater, but I'm anticipating that it will be a wearable item. But I have been wearing my weird Prada-inspired Intarsia socks, and that's pretty great. And I've been wearing, actually, a lot of my hand makes. I realized that I think I've reached a tipping point in my closet where, you know, I can remember seeing people talk about having a me-made wardrobe, and it just seemed impossible to me and so out of reach that I would have an entire wardrobe of things that I made that I'd want to wear. And then I can remember when I was sewing, I would wear things, but like they weren't necessarily perfect. They're always a little ill-fitting and a little bit uncomfortable. And I feel like I've hit my stride, and I'm just recognizing in my wardrobe that I have a lot of mostly me-made items. Most of them are clothes that I will happily wear when I step outside of the house. And a lot of them I'm wearing even now inside the house. And so that's really, again, one of those nice, weird reminders that there's a passage of time, there's a lot of improvement, even when I haven't been actively paying attention to that. And so I am now able to have a pretty much predominantly me-made wardrobe, both in terms of sewing and knitting, and that's kind of just wild to me. And why I mention this is that, you know, having one in and of itself is not the goal, right? Like, I mean, it's interesting, and I think when I first started sewing, I thought of it in that goal-oriented way, like, what would those people who were able to do that just seemed like they had so much time and skill and I just didn't think I could be in that category. And like now I'm sort of like, what's the point? I mean, whether you buy your clothes or you make your clothes, like what's the difference as long as you are finding some way to express yourself happily? And for me, that shift has been really profound. So what sewing allows me to do that shopping doesn't is that I'm able to make things in prints that I really love. And the quality of the material, not the sewing, the quality of the material is a little nicer than I think what I can normally afford. Well, I should say that, I mean, I could afford it, but for whatever reason, the way that I approach money, I feel more comfortable buying fabric than I do buying clothing. And over time, I am starting to just make patterns that I really know fit me well and fit my, you know, wearing lifestyle. Lifestyle is such a big word. Anyway, I wear them is what I'm trying to say. Oh, this is rambly. And they make me happy. And that's the most important thing that I'm noticing. Like wearing the clothes that I make or wearing the knitted objects that I make, they make me happy. And I like making them. And so all of that has been a really profound shift that I'm trying really hard to focus on what I want to make, not what, you know, everybody's making in social media. And using the resources that I have, because I have a lot of fabric that I like buying clearly. And so it's nice to use that up and feel like I can, you know, make myself a little symbol of who I am, what I like, and, you know, put that time and energy towards myself, which I don't always do. So like I said, I've been having, I've had a really weird week. I've had a, you know, I've been feeling really positive about my making and about my sewing and my recovery work. I've been feeling so good. And then I remember why I'm in this program, because I had a week that was super challenging. I was talking about it in a meeting this week, and sometimes it just feels like alcoholism is like the Kool-Aid guy and just bursts through the wall at any given moment, and bringing like a whole host of chaotic problems along with it. And that sort of happened to me this week. I had a really important work meeting I had to prepare for, and I was also really worried that my ex-husband, who I still very much care about and I'm in, you know, dialogue with because of our kids, he had a really bad week in terms of his addiction. And it just really brought up, one, a lot of really traumatic memories of what it was like to live with him and try and navigate work at the same time as trying to navigate his addiction, not in healthy ways. And that onus is on me. I really was feeling those after effects, that stress in my body as I tried really hard to achieve, overachieve at work at the same time as trying to micromanage addiction, and not doing really either of those very well. And even when I did do the work stuff well, it just leaves me completely drained and, to be honest, really depressed. And I was noticing that this week, that I was able to pull off what I had accomplished or wanted to accomplish in work, but the after effects of it were just terrible. I was unable to be present for my kids. They really picked up on it, and there, that kind of triggered them, I think, to have some traumatic memories of when I used to, it's hard for me to say, but when I used to emotionally withdraw from them and from my life and just sort of lock myself in the room and just knit. And I'm recognizing that, you know, I felt myself wanting to just go upstairs, close the door, and mindlessly work on projects from bed, you know, really depressed. And that's not how I knit now. Usually, you know, my kids are really, you know, I'm in the room and able to talk with them, and the knitting keeps me sane during COVID school time. First, you know, my kids are still doing school from home. I'm still doing work from home. And that means there's a lot of chaos in my house, but it's like a happy chaos, or not a happy chaos, but like a non-addictive driven chaos. And knitting in those moments is allowing me to stay present and engage with them, but also do something for myself to handle my emotional well-being. And this week it was like old times. It was not that. It was a tool of isolation. And I felt really cut off from the community. In my immediate sense, like with my friends and my family, I didn't want to take any phone calls. I didn't want to talk to my kids. I didn't want to go to meetings. I didn't want to do anything. I just needed to recover. And that was super unhealthy. And it was a good reminder to me that, you know, I'm in this journey for a reason, and some things take time and they are going to interrupt what I would think of as, you know, my progress. You know, as I kept seeing online, you know, you hear what you need to hear, but I kept hearing that, you know, recovery isn't a linear process. Being well isn't something that is a kind of checklist, that there are multiple times where you've got to go back and do step one, even if you're in the midst of step four, which is where I'm at. And I really felt like that this week. Like I had to have a step one moment of, wow, my life used to be really unmanageable. And this week it was unmanageable again. And it was unmanageable because addiction is unmanageable. And there's nothing I can do about it. It's really hard to watch somebody I love suffer with this. It's really hard for me to watch my kids watch their dad suffer from this disease. And it's also really hard to work. It's been hard to work from home, but it's also really hard to, you know, have the mental stamina to perform at a really high level. At least I hope it's a high level when my heart is broken. And to be okay that I can't do both well. It was insane of me to try for so many years. Of course, there's going to be effects about addiction and how it touches my life. Of course, it's going to show up in my work. And that's hard to recognize. And that's also really pushing me to think about my self-worth, my self-identity, all of that stuff. And so it's been a really tough week. So, but I am grateful that I'm here, and I'm grateful for spring. And I'm trying to give myself a lot of leeway. I'm working on the simplest pair of socks. And I'm participating in the Great Green Knit Along, which I think is, I don't even know what the dates are. I don't think I'm even going to post about it. I'm just excited to, you know, do these socks I'm knitting are like neon green. And I have brown yarn for the toes and heels and cuffs. I'm playing a bit of yarn chicken, but that seems apropos because the Great Green Knit Along is about knitting something for spring, and it's also about political. I think there's some political aspects to it as we round the bend on the one-year anniversary of Breonna Taylor's death in the United States, and it's also the one-year anniversary of COVID, and people are sharing about that. For me, it's the one-year anniversary of my divorce, separation process starting. Which is really hard to believe. And then also, I feel it in my bones. And then there's just really terrible stuff in London this week as well. Again, the news is just hard, even as there's this hope. So I am trying really hard to focus on the positive. And so for me, these bright green socks are really the positive, even as I know in the middle of this week is St. Patrick's Day, which for my family has always been one of those horrible minor holidays that involves massive amounts of drinking. And I guess I'm trying to counteract that by knitting something incredibly bright and cheery that will remind me that there is a lot to look forward to in the coming weeks, both in terms of spring, both in terms of all the green flower, you know, the green buds that are going to be popping up, and then also just hope and change. And yeah, so I'm working on the green socks. I'm still knitting a lace cardigan, but it's super easy, simple repeat. You know, knitting markers are your friends, at least my friends. It's making the knitting really, really pleasant. I forgot how much I love to make lace, knit lace patterns. And then I'm also cutting out a vintage pattern that I bought for myself off of eBay, and it has this real Diana 1980s vibe. I'm joking that I'm going to be, if I'm doing any kind of Diana cosplay, it's going to be like Diana maternity wear, but it has that like 80s kind of frilly blouse that sort of looks like a nightgown. I'm making it in an eyelet fabric that I had. I'm repurposing curtains, eyelet cream curtains, and so it definitely has a nightgown vibe, but it's really making me happy, and that's what matters, right? So anyway, I'm going to wrap it up. I'm so happy to be talking with you. I hope you're well. I hope that you're feeling hope. I hope that if you are living with active alcoholism, that you have a good plan in place for this week. I know this is going to be a tough one for us, all of us who love anybody who's struggling with addiction. And my thoughts are with you all. I am really hoping that this spring forward moment gives us all a little bit of hope, some green things, some easy projects, some beautiful materials to work with, and some extra light at the end of the day. So take care. I hope you're well, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye.